Southern California Christian Students College Conference, Big Bear, California, November 6 through 8, 2009. Conference title, Being Desperate and Living Uniquely for the Gospel. Message 4, A Prevailing Gospel Work on the College Campuses. Scripture reading, Acts 2:46 through 47, 5:42, and Philippians 1:27 through 29.
Well, the Lord has brought us to the conclusion of this conference, but every conclusion is really a beginning. And as we go down the mountain today, we want to send you down with much encouragement in the Lord that the living that we have seen in the ministry of the Word this weekend is altogether attainable. And if it was not, then God would not have revealed it in His Word, or have called us to it in the body. So this living is altogether attainable. What do you say to this?
Amen.
Amen. Well, I think each of the brothers in the last two messages have given a review of the foregoing messages, and I'd like to do the same, but this is my review of the last messages of this conference. And I think this is a review that you can commit to memory, and that may even be something of an easy reminder of the main points of this conference. This is the review of the last three messages. See, pray, go. See, pray, go. See, pray, go. And if I could add a fourth word for today's message, I think it would be build. See, pray, go, build. Well, the title of this message is A Prevailing Gospel Work on the College Campuses. And to this point in the conference, there has been much inspiration, many inspiring testimonies, both from the brothers who have been laboring in the gospel, and from those who have gone before us in history. And we may have a certain sense that we want to enter into such a living of preaching the gospel, of speaking to our friends, of being faithful to speak in the Jerusalem to which the Lord has appointed us. And this, for most of us in this room, is our college campus, our classrooms. For all of us, it's our families, it's our peers at work. That we want to be those who would speak what we have seen. But you may also have the sense inwardly that as inspired as I may be, when I'm in the situation in my classroom and I'm sitting next to someone that I don't know, and the Lord prompts me within to speak, I'm not going to be able to do it. I'm naturally shy. I'm naturally quite reticent. I'm not even that outgoing when it comes to speaking to others about things that are not related to the gospel. I've failed the Lord so many times. I've had the tract in my hand in line at the grocery store, and I get to the cashier, and she's not in a good mood, and I wilt under the pressure, and I walk away from the cashier, and I regret it, and I just pray that someone else would preach the gospel to her. Well, I think you all can identify with this. I certainly can. We all can identify with this. But in this message this morning, which I will just share the first small portion of, what we want to impress all of you with is that living a life of fruit-bearing, living a life of preaching the gospel, is altogether possible. Because we are not individuals, but we are a part of a built-up and coordinated body. Because we are in the stage of church history where the Lord has opened up His Word completely, and where we see from the Word how to bear fruit in a corporate way, we should be encouraged that none of us has to be fruitless. None of us has to appear before the Lord with our hands empty. None of us should give an account to the Lord regarding fruitlessness. But rather, because we are in the body of Christ, and because we have the way by being grouped together in twos and threes, because we see the vision and have the practice of bringing others to the homes, of praying corporately for new ones, we have the way to bear fruit. The testimonies that we saw in the video yesterday and that our brother Michael shared with us last night concerning those who have gone before in the history of the church are tremendous testimonies, absolutely tremendous. And I think when we see such testimonies, we all feel quite small to see the sacrifices that others have made who have gone before us in the life of faith. And without them and others like them, and surely there are many like them whom history has not recorded, who have lived, who have suffered, and who have died without their testimonies being recorded for posterity. Surely many have been sown as seeds into the ground to die, and we are the result of their sacrifice. If we did not have them to go before us in faith, then we would not be here together today. But we also have to be clear that we live in a different age than they lived in. And the age that we live in now is the age of the body of Christ. The vision that we see now is a vision that has advanced far beyond what our forebears were able to see. The vision that we have today in the Lord's recovery is the vision of Christ and the church. The whole world is characterized by division. Everything is divided along lines that are so numerous as to be innumerable. There are divisions of race. There are divisions of ethnicity. There are divisions of geography. There are divisions of language. There are divisions of culture. There are divisions of social class, which includes economic status. The lines of division, the fissures of division that run throughout human society are seemingly infinite. And even there are divisions of religion. And even within the Christian world, there are divisions of doctrines, divisions of history, divisions along denominational lines. And the divisions that we see in the Old Testament are quite striking in chapter 11 of Genesis, where God scattered man and confounded his language. So there were divisions instituted of language and of geography. But do you realize that what was scattered at Babel has been gathered in Christ? And what we are living in today is the reality of the oneness of the body of Christ. The oneness of the body of Christ is a tremendous item that the Lord has recovered, that we could enter into such a living today in the last days before the Lord would return. The Lord cannot and will not return to a situation of division, but He will return to a built up, coordinated, blended body that testifies of the oneness that He Himself is in His Trinity. Oneness begins with God, because God Himself is one. And therefore, the body that He has produced through the death and the resurrection of Christ is a body characterized by oneness, because it is a body indwelt by the one triune God. And when others see our oneness, they are compelled to believe in the God who is one. So in John 17, the Lord says that the world may believe that You have sent Me, that they would be one, as You and I are one. Even that we would be perfected into oneness, that the world may believe that the Father has sent the Son. I was a college student when I came in to the church life. When I touched the Lord's recovery, and I, like you that have come in to meet with the saints in your college years, was longing for oneness, though I didn't have the language to put to it. I think generally in human society, people would say that they desire community. Community. People join sororities because they're seeking community. They join clubs. They're involved in different kinds of organizations because there's a longing in our God-created humanity to be joined to others. The United Nations testifies that the world longs for oneness, but it also testifies that there can be no oneness in human society apart from the one God. And so when I came and I met the saints, I touched something that I was desperately longing for in my being, because I saw college students who were one. They loved the Lord like no people I'd ever seen in my life, and I was a believer in Christ and had been to different places. But what I saw in their living and in their love for one another convinced me that what is here is altogether real. And when I touched it, I wanted to be a part of it, and I wanted to bring others into it. So it was through such a living and such a mutual love among the members of the body of Christ that I was captivated and captured as a 21-year-old college student. And then I began to enter into the church life, which is a life of being in one spirit, with one soul, and even together striving along with the faith of the gospel. So we have a different testimony. We have a different testimony than what the world has. We have a different testimony than what the Christian religion has, because our testimony is a testimony of the oneness of the body of Christ. Consider a few verses that you might want to write down. 1 Corinthians 1:10. Now I beseech you, brothers, through the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be attuned in the same mind and in the same opinion. This cannot happen in our natural human life. This oneness takes another life, and that is the divine, uncreated, eternal life of God Himself. There is not this kind of oneness in the world. Where else do people speak the same thing? I'm the seventh brother this weekend to speak on a message. And our brother Daniel after me will be the eighth brother. Eight signifying resurrection. But can you testify that we have all spoken the same thing? And you and your speaking one to another, you're speaking the same thing. Because we are under one vision. God's revelation is progressive. And God's work is progressive. And God's vision, His revelation, and His work have progressed to the stage where there is a genuine oneness among a people who are living, who are speaking, who are thinking the same thing. Have you touched this? Can you say that you've seen this? I can testify I have seen it. Yesterday we had these testimonies from mostly from sisters who have been taking the way of being grouped together in twos and in threes. And in the church life, in the Lord's recovery, we are blessedly blind. We don't see race. We don't see ethnicity. We see Christ in the saints. But the world sees the other things. Well, do you think some of those pairs of sisters, when they would go to a new one on their campus or they would preach the gospel, that someone would be very impressed that two people from such different backgrounds could be so one? I was touched by their oneness. Those sisters that stood here and testified were so joined together that I believe their testimony would compel their friends to believe. Because their friends have never seen that, and their friends long for that. Saints, no matter what you may see outwardly among students on your campus, and even if they may seem to be quite resistant to you or uninterested in what you have to offer, actually, every single one of them, without exception, longs for what you have. Because in their God-created humanity, they long not only for God, but for the oneness that is God Himself. And only we can take this testimony to them, because we bear this testimony in love. A couple of more verses, Philippians 2:2. Touching on this matter of the oneness. Make my joy full, Paul says, that you think the same thing, having the same love, joined in soul, thinking the one thing. This is Philippians 2:2. And in Philippians 4:2, Paul encouraged a couple of sisters, I exhort Euodias and I exhort Syntyche, to think the same thing in the Lord. So what is the church life today? The church life is a life of being in one spirit, with one soul, thinking the same thing. Now let's just turn to our outline. A prevailing gospel work on the college campuses. To have the gospel preached in a prevailing way, spiritual giants or powerful evangelists are not so much needed as the body, a built-up body under a coordination. Well, I could ask how many of you, but don't raise your hands if you have the confidence that you are such. Don't raise your hands, but how many of you are spiritual giants or powerful evangelists? I can testify that I am neither. And I can also testify that I don't need to be, because I am just a member of a body. Amen. And my portion, whatever that portion may be, is needed just as much as your portion. And when five of us are grouped together, there are five talents. So we don't need spiritual giants and powerful evangelists, although we certainly honor those who have the particular portion to evangelize and who may have a particular portion in the spiritual life that is a pattern to us and to others. But we all have a portion in Christ's body. And if we don't function, then the body corporately cannot function as well if your portion is not released. So we may be a little finger. And I may be able to live without my little finger, but I can't live as well without my little finger. So we need all the little fingers. The body of Christ has many members, and it has one move under one head on the earth. A says, John 17 speaks of the world believing through the oneness of the believers. Our oneness in Christ is the strongest testimony. B, in our preaching of the gospel, everyone must be fully impressed that we are in one spirit and with one soul. This oneness will be convincing, subduing, and attractive. If we are built together, then nothing can dislodge us from the building. If we're an individual Christian, then we are like an individual stone on the ground. And you can kick a stone as far as you want and for as long as you want. You can kick that stone down the road. You can kick it in a gutter. Well, if we're just an individual Christian, then the enemy can take advantage. But if you take that same stone and you build it into a wall, and you try to kick that stone that's built into the wall, you're going to end up hurting your foot. We need to be built in. Because when we are built in, we have the prevailing testimony that the world believes and that the enemy cannot overcome. But it begins with our being built together and our being blended together. See, the principle for God's people is that they should be grouped together in twos or threes. Hence, we all need to be grouped together with some companions. Many of you are quite familiar with Matthew 18, 15 to 20. And let's just look at a couple of those verses. And the Lord Jesus says here, truly I say to you, in verse 18, whatever you bind on the earth shall have been bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on the earth shall have been loosed in heaven. Again, truly I say to you that if two of you are in harmony on earth concerning any matter for which they ask, it will be done for them from my Father who is in the heavens. For where there are two or three gathered into my name, there am I in their midst. So the principle in the scriptures is that we need to be grouped together in twos and threes. And in the Old Testament, in Ecclesiastes 4:12, it says, a threefold cord is not easily broken. When we are joined together with others, we have the strength to preach the gospel even when we're by ourselves in our classroom. Because with our joining together with others, with our fervent prayer together for the new ones whom we have listed, whom we have borne to the Lord on our hearts, with the two and the three with whom we are pursuing the truth, with whom we are opening our situations for prayer, mutual intercession, and corporate building, then we go and we're in class and we feel the inward prompting to speak to the one who is sitting next to us. But when we speak, we have the sense we are not speaking by ourselves, but we are speaking with the two and the three that we have been built up with during the week. And we are speaking a speaking that is backed up by much prayer for our classmates, perhaps for that specific one you've brought to the Lord for the last 2 weeks, praying for the opportunity. And then you speak and you realize, it's not just me. I'm standing in the body and I'm joined to my brothers and my sisters with whom I've been built up through our mutual prayer and pursuit. To have this kind of joining is crucial, because apart from this kind of joining, we may not have the impact to win people for the Lord and to bring them into the proper church life today. I'd like to testify on behalf of brothers in college and college age in my locality that I have seen this. I have seen this even when I wasn't so sure how much it could really be realized. I have seen in the last approximately 3 to 4 years young brothers who have taken this way to be joined together to preach the gospel to their friends, and they've been gaining their friends as remaining fruit. They have become a nucleus on their campus to pray for their campus, to preach the gospel to their friends. And the sisters are involved as well. But these brothers, many of them live in a brother's house. And when they invite their friends over to the brother's house, more than one has testified, I keep coming back because you guys are one. I've never seen that before. They're just drawn. Their hearts are warmed up. They want to be with the brothers because what they don't find in the world, they have found in the church. This is real. It works. The Bible is the Word of God. And to see the principle of twos and threes is revolutionizing. In Luke chapter 10, we see that the Lord sent out His disciples two by two before His face into every city and place where He Himself was about to come. So the two by twos, the twos and threes, we have the way to go on, not as individuals, but as a built-up nucleus that is so built together, so blended together, that our burdens become one. Your burden becomes my burden. We enter into one another's burdens. And through our prayer and our intercession for others and our mutually pursuing the truth in the Word and in the ministry, we have a strength of testimony that compels the world to believe, that convinces, that subdues, and that is so attractive to others. Many students on these campuses come from broken families. The division that they touch is in their own homes. And when they come and they see the real family life in the church of God, then this was my case. I touch a family life that I never knew in my human life. And inwardly, you are compelled, you are drawn, because you see that Christ is here in His body. Do you know what the church life is today? The real body life? It is the new social life in resurrection, in new creation. What is our society? Our society is the church. What is our quote-unquote social life? It is the church. What is our community? It is the church. And in fact, it is the Ark of Noah to end this age. And we need to bring others into the ark to build the ark with us, that we would be rescued from the coming judgment and end this age to enter into the age of the kingdom in resurrection. We are here with a vision, with a goal, and with a purpose to bring our Lord back. One says, as companions being grouped together in twos or threes, we should always come together to fellowship, pray, pursue the truth, and take care of new ones. Two says, we should pick up the burden and take action with our companions to contact others, either sinners or Christians. When you have the building up and the burden to contact others, your going forth to contact others will be prevailing. Will we be rejected? Of course we'll be rejected. We may be rejected many times. But when we're rejected, the Spirit of grace and of God rests upon us. And when we go to contact others with the Christ whom we ourselves are experiencing and enjoying, and when we have this kind of building in the twos and the threes as a nucleus, then when we go to contact others, surely the Lord's blessing will be upon us because we are taking the way ordained by God in the Scriptures. And our brother Daniel will share more on the practical, experiential side of many of these points. But let's read the last point for this portion. If the young people are grouped together in this way, the gospel preaching on the campuses will be like wildfire, be prevailing, convince people, and put Satan to shame. So today, saints, we have a very particular portion that we can share with others on our campuses. We can invite them to know Christ as their Savior, their Redeemer, and their Lord. But then we can bring them to see the church life in all of its splendor of saints pursuing together in one spirit and with one soul, striving together with the faith of the gospel. And they're seeing this oneness both on our campuses as we are in our twos and our threes, going forth to preach the gospel, gathering in our Bible studies, but even when they come to our homes, they will see that there's a one accord there. And they will see that you are one with people from such different backgrounds that it doesn't actually compute in their minds how you could be one with others so different from yourselves. But when they see it, they will know this is real. And they will be compelled to believe not only in the Christ of glory, but in the body that he is building on the earth as his unique testimony, apart from all division. So as we get into this next half of the outline, our brother Daniel will touch much of these points with some experiential matters, I believe, from his experience, both as a student and as one who is laboring now with students, to help us to see that this living is altogether attainable because it is a living to which the Lord has called us, and it is a living in which we are not individuals, but we are members of a corporate body. Amen. Let us go on together in one accord to bring the Lord back.
Amen. Why don't we speak the four words that summarize this conference? Can we speak those together? Pray, go,
build.
Sisters,
brothers, see, pray, go, build.
Amen. Hallelujah for all that the Lord has shown us.
Amen.
Thank you for the way of prayer.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, that he has a burden that we would all go. Amen. And in this final message, we really want to see this matter of building. I think we've really been impressed with our brother sharing on the matter of the oneness, right? That we are all members of the body of Christ. And this oneness is what will cause the world to believe. Why don't we look at a few verses in Peter? If you look at the Roman numeral 1, which we've been going through, and we'll continue. 1 Peter 2, if you could turn to those verses, and I'll just read to you. 1 Peter 2, actually, I'd like to start with verse 4. Verse 4 says this, coming to him. This weekend, I hope all of us have come to him. Have you come to him?
Amen.
We've all been coming to him. A living stone, rejected by men, but with God, chosen and precious.
Amen.
The more we touch our Lord, the more we realize how precious he is. The emphasis is on verse 5 and 9. In 5 it says, after we come to him, what happens to us? We ourselves, also as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house into a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So we see in this verse that not only is he a living stone, we've been regenerated, we're being transformed, and we're becoming living stones. But my question to you this morning is this, are you built? And more specifically, with whom are you built? With whom are you built? The Lord desires a building. In Ephesians, we see this is called the body of Christ. But here in Peter, he uses a different term. He calls it a spiritual house. He calls it a holy priesthood. A holy priesthood. These living stones are built together. We're all living stones. But in your campus, in your locality, where you are you scattered? Are you piled? Or are you built?
Amen.
Right? I hope we wouldn't be satisfied until we would be built. I think there's a longing in all of us, right, that we would be builded with others. There's a price to pay, right, to be built with others, but there's a longing within our heart. We don't want to just be living stones scattered in our locality, in our campus. Once in a while, we'll see our other saints. Oh, hi, it's good to see you. But we're scattered. Or even just piled. Maybe you're in the brother's house or a sister's house, or you live with saints, but you just kind of bump into each other, just kind of piled, right? But what about the building? Oh, Lord, the building. The key word this morning is build. Saints, college students, I pray that you would all be built, that you would ask the Lord, Lord, build me. Build me, Lord, with other saints. Independence never allow, right? It's easy to be independent. It's easy to be individual. I have my own schedule, right? The brothers have a different schedule. So I just bump into them when I come home or I see them sometimes. But you need to pay the price to spend time with the other saints that you could be built. And I was just considering, what is building? Building's not just, you know, we're buddy-buddy. We go out to Starbucks or I see you on Facebook. Oh, I'm built. Yeah, look at all my friends. Is that building, right? But you know what building is? I was just considering. Building is when God and man get mingled together. The divine building is a mingling of God and man. When you get with another brother or sister and you pray and you get mingled with the Lord, that's building. That's an experience of building. When you get together with a brother or sister and you pray, read the word, and you together are mingled with the Lord, there's building there. And that building is eternal. I still remember, right, experiences that I had in college of being built with brothers. I remember one time we were a little bit wild at UC Irvine. And anyway, one brother had a burden that the church would pray for 24 hours, I believe it was, for the campus. And so this was a college brother. And so he, you know, we fellowship with the saints and they signed up. For different hours, 24 hours, we would just pray for the campus at UC Irvine, that the Lord would have a way to move on that campus. And to begin that 24 hours, of course, we started at 12 midnight. And so a few of us, maybe there was 10 or so, we decided to take that first hour, 12 to 1. So it was 12 midnight, and so we had a kind of crazy idea. We said, you know what? We need to go to the middle of UC Irvine. In the middle of UC Irvine is a beautiful park called Aldrich Park. And so at 12 midnight, we rode our bikes. We didn't live too far away. We rode our bikes and drove over to campus. And we were right in the middle of Aldrich Park. And we just huddled together and we just started to call on the Lord. And we just started to pray desperate prayers that the Lord would do something on that campus. And you know, this was how the Lord was operating in us, you know, to bring us together, to pray, not just to talk about it, but to pray together. And I remember at that time we were praying and there was a few people, you know, research universities are open 24/7, right? So there was a few people that came out and looked at the lawn. They were like, what are these guys doing? They just thought we were crazy. And anyway, we just kept on praying and calling on the Lord. All of a sudden, right in the middle of us, the sprinklers went on. Like, oh, whoa, amen, hallelujah. So anyway, we got a little soaking there. But we were already saturated with the Spirit.
Amen.
And I do believe the Lord had a way to do something further on that campus through that prayer. You know, getting together with the brothers and just praying, Lord, you have to do something on our campus. Lord, we're not satisfied with the number of new ones, with the situation here. We want you to move on this campus. So I believe this is what the Lord is after. He wants us to be built up together, right? Through our prayer, through our enjoyment of the Lord, it would be a building, right? And if you see here, it's called a priesthood. And first of all, it's a holy priesthood. Notice in verse 9, it says, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood. Holy priesthood means that we're those who serve God by bringing men to God. Bringing men to God. In our prayer of intercession especially, we need to be those that bring men, right? We encourage you, write a list, right? Get with your companions, write a list. Bring men to God. Day by day, week by week, continue to bring them to God. This is the holy priesthood. This is what we do, is we bring men to God. But then the royal priesthood, you know what they do? The royal priesthood means that we bring God to man. We bring God to man. So you can summarize messages 2 and 3 with the holy priesthood is a matter of prayer, right? The royal priesthood is a matter of go. So I hope all of us would be in this priesthood. Notice it doesn't just say priest. We're not just a holy priest and a royal priest. We're in the priesthood. Are you in the hood? Are you in the hood? The hood is a corporate body, right? It's a priesthood. You need to be built up with others. If you're not built up with others, you're not in the priesthood, right? The priesthood is what carries out God's purpose, not individual priests, right? I hope we could all see this. And look what happens. This priesthood in five, they offer up spiritual sacrifices. On one hand, this is Christ. On another hand, this is the believers, the new ones that would get saved. We offer them to the Lord, right? What a wonderful offering that we can give to the Lord. And in verse 9, what happens? In verse 9, it says that this royal priesthood tells out the virtues of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So this is what we do as the royal priest. We go, we tell out. We tell out, we speak, and we live, right? Through our living, through our speaking, we are telling out the virtues of him who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. So this is what we need to experience, is to be built up with others in the priesthood. Now, let us read D together. Okay, everybody have D on the outline. Go. The only way
to carry out a dynamic, powerful, and prevailing gospel work on any college campus is to form a nucleus of students that can take up the leadership on that campus.
Amen. Notice it says the only way. The only way. Saints, this is our way. This is the way we need to take to carry out a prevailing gospel work on our college campus. It's to form a nucleus of students who can take up the leadership on that campus. Students, you need to realize this is a golden time you have, right? A golden time that you have to contact other students. Full-timers can contact students. I remember going to UC Irvine, you know, contacting students there. And then you always get the question, oh, so what classes do you have? Body of Christ, New Jerusalem, All-Inclusive Christ, Vital Groups, God Ordained Way. As a full-timer, it's not that easy to contact the students, right? But as a student on the campus, it's so normal to contact other students. Students, you are the best ones to contact students. The most effective way to contact people is to contact ones that are the same as you, right? If I'm a professor, I can contact professors. If you're a student, you contact students. It's so normal. It's so easy. Yeah. Students, you have to realize you are the ones on the front lines. You are the army. You are the ones that are going onto the campuses. And we're all here in one body, supporting, covering, strengthening, encouraging. But students, I'm not a student anymore. I was a student 20 years ago. But no matter how much I try, I can't be a student, right? I'm not a student. But you're the students, and you need to be the ones that are contacting the students, right? Freshmen can contact a freshman. Many of you are in your first 2 years of college, right? Freshmen or sophomores. You're the best ones to contact the students. When you contact them, they will be open to you. When I contact them, they say, you look like my dad. What? You know, it's not that easy. We can do it. We'll do it. We'll go to the campus with you. But you're the best ones. Don't lose this opportunity, right, to contact the students on the campus. But the way that you would contact them would be as a nucleus, right? You need to gather together. I was just thinking about a nucleus. Probably many of you have taken biology. You know what the nucleus holds? The nucleus holds the DNA. That's the blueprint, right, for the cell. And you know what happens when the nucleus, it divides, right? I'll use a better word. It multiplies, right? The cell, when the cell is multiplying, right, it's from the nucleus. Students, the way that the Lord will multiply, the way that he will spread, The way that he will increase is by the nucleus. It's through the nucleus. It's through the students coming together to pray, to fellowship, right? To go out to preach the gospel. This is the way that the Lord will increase on all our campuses. So we need to really pray that you students would be rising up, right? Rise up as the students. You don't need to wait. We need to fellowship. We need to coordinate. But you don't need to wait, right? You just need to rise up. In Daniel, it says what? The people who know their God will show strength and take action. Young people, this is your opportunity to rise up, to take action. Don't wait. Don't say, oh, later on, after I graduate. Oh, when I'm older, when I need to know more of the truth. No, this is the time. This is the time that you should rise up to do something on your campuses. Okay, now, why don't we read 1 and 2 together under D. The saints who attend a given college should first come together, fellowship, and fan one another's spirit into flame. Once we have formed the nucleus, the primary matter we should attend to is prayer. Have you seen this weekend? Right? We need to come together. You need to have some time to come together. If everyone's busy, if everyone's scattered with their classes, with their jobs, with all their things, how can you come together? How can the Lord have a nucleus? How can he have a priesthood on your campus, right? You have to pay the price, right? You have to coordinate. You have to get together with others. When you come together, what would you do? Fellowship. Fan one another's spirit into flame. And the primary matter is to pray. I hope you've enjoyed some times of prayer this weekend, but I hope it wouldn't stop. I hope this would just be the beginning. I hope your appetite for prayer is increasing. Isn't it so good to pray together? Just join with some brothers or sisters, and you just pray. When you come, sometimes we come to pray, we're like, man, I don't really have any burden to pray. But when you just start to touch the Lord, right? You touch the Spirit, you touch the throne. Whoa! There was so much burden. There was so much anointing. There was so much flow. That wasn't from us. That was all of us touching the Lord, touching the throne of grace. Grace as rivers will flow. Amen. Have you experienced this? Don't you want to experience this more?
Amen.
Isn't this a wonderful experience?
Amen.
Right? To pray, to touch the throne of grace,
Amen.
And even the throne of authority. When you pray and touch the Lord, then that throne, you become one with the Lord to carry out what he wants to do on your campus. Right?
Amen.
That becomes a throne of administration, right? Of ruling. God can rule through your prayers. So this is the primary matter. I hope on every campus, you would just consider, Lord, is there a way I could get together with some of the other brothers, some of the other sisters? Lord, you have to do something. Don't allow us to remain scattered. Don't even just allow us to be piled, right? Lord, do some building work. Through our coming together to pray together, the Lord would build you. Now, let's read 3. Those in the nucleus must know that their purpose
is not merely to bring people to the Lord, but also to collect materials for the building up of the church.
That's right. So our purpose, why are we coming together? Our purpose, we have an aim. We're not just aimless, but our aim is to gain materials for the building of God's house, right? We want to gain more living stones, and we want them to be built with us, right? We want the nucleus. We want to add to the nucleus, right? This is what we're doing. We're not just going to save people and say, oh, give a great testimony. Somebody received the Lord, and that's it, right? But we want them to be brought in, to be the same as we are. That what would happen in 1 year if each group of 2 or 3 would gain one new one and bring them up here next year? I don't know if we have enough room. That's wonderful. We'll have to tell Stephen, yeah, we have to find another place, right? Amen. So this is a good situation that we would all pray, right, and fellowship together to bring others all the way in, right? Don't be satisfied just that someone would get saved. We want them to be material. We want them to be builded in with us, to be the same as us, to do the same thing, right? This is what the Lord desires, is to gain the material for the building of the church. Okay, now, I'd just like to impress you one more time. As college students, you are the best ones. You know, the college campuses are like fishing ponds. In God's sovereignty, He has arranged to bring so many young people to these campuses. It's just amazing. If we were living 100 years ago, we would all be on farms. Right? So if you want to gain people, you got to go to each farm, right? Pretty much. I mean, you got to go to the farms, and there's the young people, and you talk to them, right? Try to save them, bring them into something, into the church life. But look what happened. Amazingly, God arranged that all the young people would come to this one place. Cal State Fullerton, Cypress College, right? Cal State Long, they're all there. You just look at the first day of campus. Isn't it amazing? Parking is out of sight, right? Everybody's trying to find a parking spot. And there's just fish. The fish are just swimming around, right? So that's a fishing pond. But you know what? Your nucleus, your group with others, you know what you are? You're a fishing boat. You're a fishing boat. Would you like to fish with a pole or with a net? We may have fished for many years with a pole. I remember sometimes that I was at Long Beach City College and then Cal State Long Beach. I remember sometimes we'd have a gospel meeting and say, Lord, I'd pray desperately for my friends by myself. And I'd invite them by myself. And then the time for dinner would come and I go out and I'm waiting outside the house. I hope their car comes by myself. And then they didn't come. And so I'm depressed by myself. Lord Jesus, may the Lord open our eyes to see that we don't want to fish with a pole. Actually, if I caught that fish, I couldn't take care of him by myself. And even if I could take care of him, do I want him to just come into Daniel and his buddy? I want to bring him into the body of Christ. Amen. So our goal is the building. God's goal is the building. Our way to gain people is by being built. And what we bring them into is the building, is the body. If you're not built up with others and you gain a friend, what are they going to become? They're going to become another individual like you. I don't want them to be an individual. I want them to be a member of the body. Amen. So we need to be in the body, to coordinate in the body, to gain people and bring them into the body, right? This is the way we would go on the campus as a fishing boat, right? Each nucleus is a fishing boat going in the fishing pond, bringing fish. But now when you catch the fish, where would you bring them? Let's read E. Ready? We need many homes of the saints for coordination in the gospel work. Every young person who goes to the campus needs a home for his contacts. So again, two questions for you this morning. The first question was, with whom are you built? With whom are you built? The second question, which home are you related to? Do you have a home? Right? You know what the home is? The home is the nest. The home is the container. You bring fish in, but how are those fish going to stay? How are those fish going to be remaining fruit, right? It's not difficult. I think we've experienced this. It's not difficult for people to be saved. If we go out, we exercise our spirit, we go preach the gospel, people will be saved. We could go out today to Big Bear, right, down to the center here, preach the gospel, people will get saved. But the Lord is not just interested in saving people. He wants to have remaining fruit, right? And to have remaining fruit, we need to be coordinated with other saints, right? We need the homes. And this is what we saw. If you just take a look back, again, you can turn to the verses in Acts chapter 2, right? This was the pattern that we saw at the beginning of the church life. And I believe Brother Joe mentioned some of these verses last night. Let me just read to you 46 and 47. It says, "And day by day, continuing steadfastly with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house," right? What did they do? They partook of their food So there's food involved. You need to go to the homes because you need to eat. Don't you like to eat? I know college students like to eat, especially the brothers. Right? You need a home to go get some good home cooking. Right? Top Ramen doesn't cut it all every day. Right? You need some good food. Some good home cooking. Right? You need the homes. In the homes, they partook of their food with exultation. Right? In the homes, we praise the Lord. We enjoy the Lord. Right? And in the homes, we have simplicity of heart. We just love the Lord. Right? Isn't it so simple just to love the Lord and enjoy the Lord? And then in 47, praising God and having grace with all the people. And the Lord added together day by day those who were being saved. Saints, this is the way. This is the way, college students. Be built up. Get with other college students on the campus. Pray. Go. Speak. Right? Gain the new ones, but bring them to the homes. Right? So many saints that are in our localities, right, would love to have college students at their homes. Right? You just need to get together with them. Right? To coordinate together that we could gain the material for God's house. Okay, then why don't we read E1. If the saints gathered in a home are well coordinated, the new ones will be inspired with what they see. Our service in coordination will touch, soften, and warm up their heart to receive the living, piercing word. And 2, our living room should be filled with the enjoyment of Christ, especially through singing and psalming. Such an atmosphere of enjoyment and mutuality requires a great deal of coordination. So we see that in the homes, this is where the new ones would see the church life, right? We're not just on the campuses to build up a campus club, right? We use Christian students or Christians on campus. We use that as an opportunity to have a table, to get rooms, to do things on campus. But we're not here to build up a Christian club, to just get the biggest club on campus. We're here to build up the body of Christ, amen, right? So we want to bring them into the church life. And the church life is mainly in the homes, right? Day by day, house to house. This is where the church life is. And if we bring them into a home, in a home where we're built up with the saints, we're coordinated with them, right? Maybe if there's a prayer meeting on Tuesday night, you get together with some saints. You coordinate, you fellowship, right? I'm bringing a new one this week. And what'll happen? Those saints will begin to pray, right? They'll begin to pray for that new one. You're not just praying by yourself, but there's a good coordination together to pray for this new one, to consider, what kind of food should we cook them that will just warm up their heart, right? Haven't you done this? You've asked the new one, what kind of food would you like? And, I like some chicken enchiladas. Okay, the sister makes chicken enchiladas. They're just warmed up. They almost jumped into the bathtub to get baptized already because they're just wide open. There was a good coordination to care for this new one, to prepare the best food, to have a good environment. And they come in and they're just, I love you guys. This is so good. I love this place. I'm going to come back every week, right? There's a home, right? There's an environment. There's an atmosphere of love, right? An atmosphere of love. This is what will convince people, right? This is what will gain people. John 13 says, "By this shall all men know you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." We need to have the love not only among the students, but with the saints, right? In the church life, we would have the love. We would have the care, the concern, the fellowship with each other, to know each other, to pray for each other. Then, when the new ones come to such an atmosphere, they will be gained, right? They will be gained. And even through the enjoyment, right? Don't be shy to enjoy the Lord. You know, sometimes we get a new one in our living room or in our home, and then all of a sudden, everybody's kind of looking around like, everybody's afraid to enjoy the Lord. Don't be afraid to enjoy the Lord. Amen. That's what we want to bring them into, right? We're not just, maybe we should, I'm not sure what we should do. Maybe, should we offer a prayer to the Lord? Or even our prayer, sometimes we have a new one, right? We're praying for dinner. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this. We may revert to some old religious prayer because we're you know, oh, I don't want the new one. I want them to think, you know, I don't want them to think I'm too strange. We just want to enjoy the Lord. Amen. If you enjoy the Lord, they will enjoy the Lord.
Amen.
Right? Don't be stiff. Don't be formal. Just enjoy the Lord.
Amen.
Right? And if you're with built up with those saints in your home, they'll just be an enjoyment. You know, our living rooms need to be living rooms.
Amen.
Living rooms.
Amen.
Rooms full of life, full of the enjoyment of Christ.
Amen.
Right? This is the real living room. That's what your living room is for. To enjoy the Lord. Okay. Amen. Number two. Let's read number two together. And then we'll read actually A and B as well. If we would all be joined together in the body and stand together, even the weakest one among us would be stronger in the coordination than any individual strong one. Any one of the children of God, even the one in the poorest condition, still has one talent. When you put five of the one talented ones together, it equals one who has five talents. If all the one talented ones in the church today would bring forth their talents, there would be no need of so many great gifts among us. Just by the coming forth of the one talented ones, let me tell you, the whole world will be conquered. Students, have you seen this? Have you seen this vision, right? If we would all be joined together, all of us, right? Don't be scattered. Don't be individual. Don't be separate. Ask the Lord, Lord, give me a brother. Give me a sister to be joined together.
Amen.
I can't do this by myself. And even if I could, that's not what the Lord wants. He wants us to be joined together. His goal is the body, is the building, right? This is what the Lord is after. If we would be joined together and stand together, even the weakest, right, will be strong, right? We'll be stronger in the coordination. And college saints, this is really what the Lord is after today, right? He is just after all of us one talented ones coming together to be built up. As Tony said at the beginning, this is the age of the body, right? The age of the body. That is, it's the age of all the one talented ones functioning, right? We all need to function. In Ephesians 4:16, the last verse I'd like to give you, it tells us that the body, right? How is the body built up? It says through the joints, right, of the rich supply. So we need the joint. We need the homes. We need the saints, right? There's a rich supply in the church life. Many saints' homes, there's a rich supply. But also, you know what it says? It continues and it says, and through the operation in the measure of each one part. Are you in each one part?
Amen.
If you're in each one part, say amen.
Amen.
If you're in each one part, say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You're in each one part. So you need to function in your measure of each one part. This is what causes the growth of the body unto the building up of itself in love, right? So we all have a measure. We all have a function, right? You need to function in your measure. Get together with the brothers and sisters. Pray together. Bring your new ones to the homes. Bring your list to the homes. Maybe you don't have any new ones yet. You know what? Just bring a list. Go to Saints' homes for dinner and say, I have a list. We need to pray. Eat, pray. You know what will happen? In a few months, that home will have a new one. Without a doubt. When you pray, the Lord will answer your prayer.
Amen.
And He'll bring a new one into that home.
Amen.
The saints in that home will be jumping up and down because they get to shepherd a new one. You will be jumping up and down because life is being flowing out of you and you're functioning in your measure,
Amen.
Right? This is how the body is built up today, right? All of us one talented ones will just function in our measure. The Lord will have a way. Now, let me give you Three words, okay? Three words to finish up. All that we've been speaking to you this weekend is that you would all be those in God's move. In God's move. We're not here for a movement. We're not here for a movement. We're not here stirring you up for some movement. You know what a movement is? A movement is something that has man as the source. Man as the source. And a movement, you know what a movement goes by? A movement is zeal. Everybody's filled with zeal. Everybody's, ooh, we're going to do this. And you know what a third thing about a movement? A movement is full of activities. Activities. So this is a movement. But we're not here for a movement. We're here for God's move. And let me just leave you with three words, okay? God's move. You know what God's move has? God's move has one, life as the source. Life is the source. Every morning, touch life. I am the way and the reality and the life. Touch the Lord every day. He is the source. If you want to be in God's move, you need to touch life. You need to enjoy life. You need to be filled with life. When that life overflows from you, that's called fruit bearing. Fruit bearing is just the overflow of life. Every day, enjoy life. You know what God's move has? God's move has love as the condition. The condition is love. So you need to be built up. You need to be loving the brothers. Philadelphia is loving the brothers, right? John 13, we love one another, right? The world will see something. So we need to have love as our condition. Love the brothers, love the sisters, love the saints. This is our condition, right? All the branches loving one another. And fourthly, we have fruit bearing as the goal. Fruit bearing as the goal, right? So our goal, right, as we get together with the saints, we get together on our campuses, is our goal is fruit bearing. Fruit bearing is that this vine, we're branches in the vine. This vine, you know what? This vine would increase. This vine would increase. You know the fruit that's born? Amazingly, that fruit becomes branches. So you bear fruit, but then that fruit becomes the same as you. It becomes another branch. So as you increase, what happens? There's a spreading. There's an increase and there's a spreading. And the Lord's desire is that we would all be part of the universal vine. On this earth, there's just one vine. There's one body. There's one vine. And the Lord's desire is to spread this vine over the entire globe. Right? We can all participate in the spreading of the universal vine. Right? By touching the Lord every day, by getting with the saints, loving them, praying with them, going with them to the campus. Right? And by bearing remaining fruit together. Don't you love this?
Amen.
What a life. What a joy.
Amen.
Lord, may you work this out.
Amen. Amen.
How about let's pray two by two for a minute.
My name is Elijah. I'm from Cypress College. And I just wanted to share my experience of developing the nucleus on our campus. This is kind of the in our first semester where we actually picked up the burden to, you know, where, like the brother sharing, where the trainees and the full-timers weren't, you know, the front line, but we, as the students, took the lead. And we had, once a week, every Monday at 6 p.m., we would come together and to have dinner and to coordinate and to pray. And there's this one experience that we had was when we had a welcome dinner for the college students. At first, we had all these opinions, you know, how we should take care of it, what food did we bring, and how everything should work out. But then one of the brothers said, "Let's pray."
Amen.
And as soon as we prayed, you know, well, before it took like. We were discussing about even just the title of the dinner, and it took more than like an hour just, and we weren't even done, you know, considering it. But after we prayed, 30 minutes, everything was done. And I just, you know, had the sense that the Lord just had the way to, you know, blend us together and just to be one. And after the dinner, it was marvelous. And the new ones that we contacted, they were so impressed. And then, that they wanted to have, you know, more contact, more appointments, you know, to get together with the students. So praise the Lord for the nucleus.
Amen. And when I was in high school, I was at a Saturday night meeting or something, and one of the brothers charged us to actually get into a home meeting, and that pretty much revolutionized my church life. You know, you realize that going to the Lord's table is not enough. You know, we can go there, exercise with a group of saints, but really where it is in the homes. So anyways, another brother and I were like, well, you know, we should maybe get into a home meeting. So we got into a home meeting, and it was just awesome, you know, maybe not awesome, but first I was like, it's I don't really want to go, you know, it's another thing that I have to devote time to and whatever. But now actually my view has changed, and every Friday that I'm not able to make it to the home meeting for whatever reason, I'm it's really sad, but I wish I could be there. But anyways, in the homes is where you really grow with the saints. We really experienced, at first we're just meeting, right? And we're just, you know, praying, singing, and whatever. But then we realized, what are we doing here? Is it just to come together and have dinner? You know, it's not. One of the brothers brought up the burden of bearing fruit. And so it's one of those things. It's you know, we're in our group, and we don't really want to, expand because, you know, we're all friends. Yeah, we're all comfortable, right? But, yeah. So we started, praying. And then through that, actually, a bunch of people have gotten saved.
Amen.
And that's how we've been able to bring our burdens out. And it's just through prayer.
Amen. Hi, my name is Dean, and I'm a student at UCLA. And just concerning this matter of the nucleus, so a group of students that were at UCLA over this past summer, they were burdened for the campus. So we got together every week to pray and just to, it wasn't just a prayer meeting, you know, a student meeting, but it was just a time for us to get together and pray, read some verses and sing some songs and really enjoy something together. And so because of this group of students, by the beginning of the school year, it was a group of students ready to take leadership for all the welcome week activities. And I just remember we had a couple of welcome dinners at the beginning of the year, and we had some prayer times where it was just the students coming together. And at the prayer time, even people who were not, you know, around for the summer, they were attracted by the nucleus, and they were brought in, and there were 20, 25 students, and only students praying together in the room. And I remember, you know, the full-timers were debating, you know, should we go to this prayer time to make sure the students know what's going on? But they decided not to go, and it was such a glorious time, you know? And it's not that you should ban the full-timers from all your meetings, but the students need to take the leadership.
Amen.
Amen. And also these past couple months, I realized that I've never prayed this often at any one point in my life. Amen. And that's because of, you know, my prayer times is not just, doesn't just happen at the Tuesday night prayer meetings, but in every gathering with a brother, you know, over lunch or my home meetings or in my own free time, you can just take some time and meet up with other saints. And that would be a mini prayer meeting. And amen. Prayer is really the way.
Amen. That's right. Prayer is the way.
Amen.
I'm Ben from Cal State Fullerton, and this semester we've really seen the importance of the nucleus and the prayer, especially. I mean, just some of the things that we've been praying for is the Bible study, some of the contacts that we've met at the Bible study, as well as some of the contacts from the table, and also even our friends. And then really important is just praying for one another, because it matters, you know, in the coordination, in the prayer time, we're built together in this coordination, and we're just really put on each other's hearts. And so, I mean, just knowing that we're praying for one another has been such a supply. For me personally, I can just give an example. Last semester, I was only taking two classes. I was struggling through those. Now this semester, I'm taking four classes and working, you know, 20 hours a week. And helping out with the coordination time, but with the prayer, and just being open to the Lord. He's just been a real supply, and I think he's been a supply to every one of us. Amen. I can testify I would not have been able to make it without the prayer of the saints. I think another thing in the coordination time that we've seen is the matter of the building. If all that results from this coordination time is that we're built up together, that's a start. And I think we have a really good start at Cal State Fullerton. So I think we very much look forward to what the Lord's going to do next semester. So all we need to do is stay open to Him, rely on Him as our strength, and just continue to pray. And if you're not in a nucleus or if you're not coming together, I would strongly encourage every one of you, find some other students, pray once a week at least, and it'll be a supply to you.
I'm Sharon. I also go to Cal State Fullerton. I also, like Ben, enjoyed just the prayer time that we've had in coordination on Mondays. Through it, I've gained a lot of strength and comfort through the prayers of others. Even if I don't make it, they still call me and ask me what they need to pray for me and everything. We've even prayed for the new ones by name, and that's really helped them to come back to the Bible studies and just to contact us for appointments outside of just the Bible studies if they can't make it or whatever. We have appointments with them on the side. And we also had a barbecue at Cal State Fullerton, through Cal State Fullerton, and about 30 students came from Fullerton College and Cal State Fullerton. And this was just really strengthening to us as students because we've been praying for these students by name. So it's really enjoyable just to see how the prayer works. And it is through the nucleus that the Lord may multiply. Praise the Lord.
Amen.